When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
I'm excited about him. I'm excited about his future. He's already showed, you know, everybody what he can do returning the football. You know, it was unfortunate that he got hurt returning the football in preseason. Otherwise, we probably could have brought him along faster. But he's studying hard. He's a pro in the way he goes about his business, and he certainly has the athletic ability to be a great player. So looking forward to, you know, giving him more opportunities and really letting him show the kind of player that he is to everybody that's watching.
And welcome into Purple Access. Judd Zolgad, Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune, executive producer Declan Goff. That was Kirk Cousins talking about Kane Nwangu, who obviously has done a very good job returning kicks, 2 for touchdowns this season. Purple Access brought to you by our friends at Surly Brewing and also by TCL TV. Enjoy more with a TCL, a great experience, probably especially if you're watching sports. All right, Chipper, let's get right to it. Vikings go to San Francisco, come out with a disappointing loss. It seems to be a week-to-week, like, ebb and flow of emotions and thoughts about this team. But to me, that was one, a game that they could have won. I think that you can make a pretty coherent case, should have won, certainly had the opportunities. And it's sort of, I think, summarized in some ways, Chip, the flaws of this team and the flaws of the coaching and where it still feels like it's going sideways at times when it probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, it was a weird game for Cousins in a game that we haven't seen of late from him. And Judd, I just don't think he looked, I think after he threw that interception where he just didn't see the guy, I think that's the only way you can say it looked like it rattled him. And we saw him one hop the throw to JJ in the end zone. We saw him off the mark with his passes on probably, what, 5-6 throws that he normally makes. Obviously, the blooper reel lineup under, but, you know, that was chaotic from the everything about that play was chaotic. He's trying to get guys lined up. So it just felt like he got rattled. It felt like Zim and maybe some players became preoccupied with the officiating. And then obviously when you have to start your entire second string defensive line, it's going to, I don't care who you're playing, it's going to be hard. And you saw the way they ran the ball and, you know, they allowed Garoppolo just, you know, I don't think he's that good, you know? And so it just felt like a weird game to me. It felt like, I don't know, it just felt like we haven't seen that Cousins play like that in a while.
It felt like the type of game, Chip, where a road team that is good goes in and wins, and it's ugly. There's no style points. Yeah. It's not a clean win, but it's a win, and you leave and go home and basically don't discuss it again. Like, yeah. Like you just won. Let's talk about Kirk first, because I think you're right. I think that pick, because in the first half, he was good. And I think that pick threw him off badly. And here's my problem with that. The Vikings have rightfully so relied in the games, in the Chargers game and the Packers game, rightfully so relied on Kirk and the passing game because it's good. But what you have to factor in, and this goes from Zimmer to Kubiak and Janoco to Kirk, is, okay, if we're going to do this, there's going to be some bad picks. Like they're just going to, if the ball's in the air as much as the ball is going to potentially be in the air, there's going to be some bad picks. And you're going to say, wow, that was a bad pick. The question is, can everybody just move on and be like, okay, we'll get them next time. And it felt like, and I think we talked about that last week as well. And it felt like the answer to that question was no. And that's a real problem in a league where mistakes are a huge part of the game and lots of times a big part in what become wins.
Yeah, and you know what the weird thing about that one was, Judd? That wasn't like, well, in the context of what we were talking about, it's like take chances, take risks, throw the ball down the field if he's covered. That wasn't that play. That was basically, that was just a, I don't know if it's a check down, but it was a short throw, and so it wasn't like a high risk play. He just didn't see the guy, but it you know, and I doubt Cousins would agree with the premise, but it just didn't seem like he was right after that.
And, no, I agree completely. You're right.
And so I don't know. You know, it is interesting. We should bring up Mark Craig from my paper. I had a one-on-one with Cousins last week before the game, and his quotes were, you know, it just seemed like a guy who thinks about everything and just can't let stuff roll off his back. So when you read his quotes and how he's, you know, interprets things and internalizes everything, and he wants to be a pleaser to Zim and the coaching staff and do what they're saying, I don't know that he has it in him to just kind of like wash things off if it's a bad pick, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he's capable sometimes, but like this game, it just felt like it just kind of threw him off his game.
It's the same thing that doesn't allow Kirk to take control at times and say, screw it, here's what we're going to run. And that's the thing is, and Mark's story did a really good job of painting this. The thing with Kirk is not physical. Like there's nothing, he's got the talent. The thing with Kirk is mental and how much can he process and do. And that's because that pick was a bad pick, but okay, so what, dude? It's not like it's not like you've had four consecutive bad games and it's like, oh my God, here we go again. That pick, good or bad, was inevitable. Like he was going to throw that. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, the question then became, and I was very curious to see this, how do you respond? And you're right, his response was, oh my God, that was awful. I can't allow that. And I don't know if the coaching staff comes up to Kirk and says, forget about it, don't worry about it. It certainly doesn't seem like they do. But that's the whole thing of like, can you take that next step, which is this team is built, like it or not, on offense. It is built largely on the fact that they can pass the ball now pretty damn well. But that is walking a tightrope at times. And when you fall, can you get right back up? We talked about it. And we said, we're curious to see, and it felt like the answer was no. And unfortunately, Chipper, I think that very much cost you a win because that was not a, like that game late felt bad, but
yeah,
it was still,
it was there for taking
to come back and at least tie it. Right.
Yeah. It was there for the taking. Yeah. And you look at what, why I say, I felt like it affected him. That was a 2-point conversion throw to Jefferson, right?
He skipped.
That he skipped. I mean, that one just like he's rolling out. It didn't seem, we've seen him make that pass a lot, right? And he basically just threw it right in the dirt.
I know.
I mean, it was bizarre. Like that to me, that it looked like he felt the pressure of the moment, like he is overthinking it and held on to it too long and just wasn't cutting it loose like we've seen him do in the previous two games. And so yeah, and I don't know. I would hope the coaching staff say, hey, you know what? Screw it. Move on. It happened. Bad throw. You didn't see him, whatever. Don't let it affect you. But
we'll figure it out.
But it's easier said than done, Jeff. I mean, it's,
oh, absolutely.
It's a person's personality, right? And so, yeah. I mean, it is. You know, with everything that went on there, I mean, the game was still there, but it just, you know, and I know Zim was mad at the officiating, but I mean, to me, and we can talk about the officiating all day long, and but it to me that stuff evens out, and they didn't play well enough to get that benefit of the doubt to talk about the officiating. When you, if you played perfect and you felt like that, great, but they just made far too many mistakes for me to say, okay, let's talk about the officiating.
Yeah, and it's also important to note that in the Packers game, Packer fans said the exact same thing about their team,
yeah,
and they didn't get the calls. And so, and plus, I am big on, I do not, just as a fan of football, I do not want to see holding enforced every play. So like what Mike, in Mike's perfect world, that to me is an awful game. It's like every time a guy gets his hands out, and there are crews that will throw those flags. Yeah. I applauded the fact that for the most part, they pulled themselves back enough to not throw a flag, because that game could have dragged out.
Yeah.
And that was not an attractive game to start with. Can you imagine if we throw in, say, 12 more flags on both sides? No, thank you.
Well, and Ben Gessling from my paper looked up the stats. And so I think I think this is right, that the Vikings are number 6 in the NFL in holding calls against them. But they also, I think they draw the 5th most holding calls. So it's basically evened out a little bit. And that's partly because of, I think because they're good pass rushers. So you're going to, if you have a good pass rusher, you're going to draw more penalties. But, Udo, I think has 10 almost.
That doesn't work out too well.
Yeah, Judd, that's a problem. I mean, but is Davis not even on the radar? I mean, I don't understand what.
Never active.
He's not. I guess they're going to ride this out. No, I mean, clearly, if they haven't made a switch by now, they're not going to.
Yep.
Which I don't know what he's not doing in practice to show me, because Udo has just struggled big time with the penalties, and just that experiment did not work as you predicted. Back before the season, you called it.
I don't blame him. They moved the poor guy from tackle to guard right before a camp and said, work on it.
Figure it out. Figure
it
out.
NFL. Like what was their thinking of they, you know, I will always say this, and we certainly don't know the inside story, but they clearly thought when they took him in the 3rd round, Wyatt Davis was going to start. And
yes.
I don't know if they thought he was just completely unprepared, too fat, whatever they thought. They buried him and took a guy, you know, who had never played. I don't think the poor guy had played guard in his life or his career, and said, go from tackle to guard and make it work. And that's on the Vikings. Like, that is not Ole. That is not Kirk. That is on the people, the coaching staff, and Rick Spielman.
Yeah. I mean, it's, when they drafted Davis, there's no way they thought, okay, Udo's going to be our guy, and this guy's, and Davis is going to be inactive all year. He's not going to play. I mean, I thought he had a better chance of starting ahead of Darisaw, you know, just because of you feel a guard, you can plug him in there. And the need was, you know.
The need was huge.
Was huge. But it'd be interesting to get some true serum coming out of there to figure out, like, what in the world is he not showing you? Or what is he not doing that he's not even on the radar? So, yeah, I mean, but the holding thing, to me, those things just typically even out, and you're right. Nobody wants to see, because it already feels like games are over-officiated. And,
oh, God.
With reviews and flags, absolutely. It's just like, every time there's a big play, you sit there and wait, okay, well, now it's coming back. It's got to where it's just over-officiated, I feel like.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It goes back to, so I think in the pandemic year, 2020, it felt like they didn't throw as many flags, but in 2019, we're right back to, oh, big play. Yeah. That was fun to walk. Oh, there's a flag.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just not fun. And look, if there's an egregious call to be made, make that call. But like, you could call holding, you know, the cliche, every single play. And if they do, and I know Mike wants that for his team, But then if his defense gets called, he's mad. And so,
yeah. Well, the only play from there that, yeah, the Thielen catch, I don't understand why that wasn't a catch. I mean, they looked at our replay. I mean, it just looked like a catch, right? I mean, I don't understand why they didn't, you know,
I think it's a catch if they call it a catch on the field. And if they don't, it's not. That's that murky, overwhelming evidence of the play.
Correct.
Being called wrong.
Yes. And then I thought, the third down throw on the last drive? That looked like pass interference. Okay, but, you know, who's to say they're going to go on a win there, you know, if they get that? But I just, you know, the constant complaining about officiating, drives me crazy.
To go back to Kirk, the interesting thing about Kirk, too, was the fact that the PFF stats showed that I think for the first time where he didn't play well, the pressure was not that great. So this is not your line stinks, son, and, you know, take a powder, that's fine, take a pass here. He had time, and he still struggled, which I think goes back to your point, which is the pick threw him off.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a clunker. I mean, I guess it happens, you know, and I think that interception had a big part of it, and maybe it got in his head a little bit, like, because he had been so good and to throw that. Like, we haven't seen that kind of interception. We saw that early last year we saw that pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that for a long stretch, and so maybe it kind of got in his head a little bit, and it just wasn't a good game by him. And then when you really have no running game whatsoever right now, you know, I mean, Dalvin being hurt, and, you know, we've you know, campaigned for them to throw the ball more and Jefferson didn't get many targets in the second half there.
Nope.
Thielen, but they still need to be able to run the ball. And this Dalvin, I was at Carolina, and that was before the bye.
Mm-hmm.
And Dalvin looked beat up. When he came in the press room, he looked tired.
Yes.
He looked tired. Like, he even said, he's like, you know, this bye is coming at a good time. I just think his body's beat up, man.
I've said this since he hurt his ankle, I believe, in week two against the Cardinals. Yeah. He's not been the same. Now, he's had some really good carries and some good stats, but watch him attempt to cut now. And I think that why he is being thrown for no gains or losses now is predicated on that problem, because he's never had that Peterson problem before. Like he's not, he waits for his blocks. He's a pretty smart back.
He's patient. Yeah. He's very patient. Yeah.
And I think if you're patient, you're ordinarily going to, you know, get, in his case, at least a yard, 2 yards, 3 yards. I really think that since he got hurt the first time, that it's impacted him. And I don't think he has consistently looked the same. And there are definitely times where he tries to put that foot in the ground where I don't think it does what he wants it to do. So I'm with you completely. That doesn't mean he's a disaster. He's not. But it does mean that he's not the Pro Bowl dominant type of guy who we have seen at times for long stretches.
No, you just don't see that explosive burst as much as we're used to seeing. And it's probably just because I think it's probably multiple body parts that are hurting right now. And so he just hasn't been, you're right, you don't see him like plant and go and burst through that line like we're used to seeing. And so, I mean, it feels like this would be a conversation every year, though, right? I mean, because...
Chip, this is the problem with... this is why I said, and we went back and forth. This is the debate about paying that position. It's not the player. Dalvin Cook's a marvelous player. It's not the player. In this case, it is literally the position.
Yeah, and I've kind of been on the other side. Yeah. Because I probably fall in the trap of looking at what he brings when he's healthy and not
100%
and not looking, not putting enough credence and stock on the other side when he's not healthy. And that, you know, and that's always going to happen because of the way they use him and how many touches Zimmer wants him to get. And so, I haven't seen the latest where I don't think they'd come out and said they had IR'd him. Right. So
no. And Zim said week to week, it ain't week to week.
I think why don't they IR if they think it, I mean, what if they really think it?
They think it's two games. But I don't, you know what? I don't rush him back. They're not good enough to rush him back. And he's not, no, like, until I'm sure he's fine, I don't want him back. Like
yeah, yeah, because you
don't
want
a great idea. Yeah, because you're going to create more problems.
Yeah, I mean, you got Detroit, and then I haven't looked at the schedule after that. But
Pittsburgh, you know, on Thursday, he ain't playing in that game. Chicago,
short week.
Chicago the Monday after in Chicago.
That's the one they want him on.
Which is they want him on, but I'm not going to rush him. No way.
No. I mean, you, not with the, you know, regardless of contract, you, a guy that you don't rush a guy back, it's going to possibly do it worse, but especially when you have that kind of money tied up in a guy. But I'm sure Dalvin will fight hard to get back. I'm sure he's pushing to not go on the IR, you know?
Well, yeah, but it's not like they're going to win 13 games, right? And yeah, it's not like, oh man, we, you know, drive for home field or something like that. So
but they're, just, they're in a, they got to win as many games they can now to get in the playoffs, dude.
I know, but it's a seven seed. I don't know. I get it. I get the argument. Yeah. I just don't want to, if he is going to play here, which I assume he will, beyond 2021, I just don't want to make it worse and worse and worse. And look, I mean, Chip, that position, Christian McCaffrey, mm-hmm, Henry, Saquon Barkley looks nothing like the guy that we saw. I mean, that position is literally the position at which this sport eats you up and or chews you up and spits you out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's across the board. Like, tell me the back now who you're like, okay, that's the formula for that guy never to really get hurt and to be fresh. It's, yeah, just, I don't think it happens.
Well, just, you know, by definition of the position, I mean, you're just going to take punishment. And it's the cliche, you only have so many carries in you. I mean, it's right, true. You know, I mean, it's true. And it's different for every guy. But, you know, he just, like I said, when I saw him after that Carolina game, and he just looked pretty tired, you know?
Yep. This does lead to one thing. As sad as it makes me now to see Peterson bounce from the, yeah, Titans to the Seahawks to this team to that, his career here was remarkable. Like, mm-hmm, go back and think about, like, how Cook looks now. And Cook, I mean, Cook's what, fifth year in? Correct? Yep. Sixth year in? Think about Peterson. Like,
fifth, yeah.
But, I mean, think about Peterson's longevity, injury, and then ability to come back. Like, that was a remarkable,
yeah,
no pun intended, run at a position where we now see guys basically get 4 years in, and you're like, I think he might be done. It really,
yeah, works. Well, I mean, we saw Peterson walk through the locker room hundreds of times, you know, over the years, and you saw – a guy who was a freak of nature.
Yeah,
you know,
was.
Physically. I mean, you just looked at him. I mean, we all joked about the handshake, but he was just, he's built like a, you know, like granite. You know, he was strong and fast. And I mean, think about all the touches he had in his MVP year.
Yeah.
You know,
and just too, never. But I mean, he's still,
yeah,
he's worn out.
Yeah. But Adrian is just so big. He delivered as much. Remember, that was always the talk back then. He's, yeah, like, Adrian, you got to go out of bounds. You got to preserve your hits because you can't. But he always wanted to truck people. You know, he wanted to just run.
And we all said you're crazy.
We said you're crazy, but that's just how he was wired. And I don't know, later in his career, if he probably did more like, okay, I'll go out of bounds here versus try to run somebody over. But for most of his career here, he was looking to dole out punishment as much as he was taking it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, let's touch. Talk about Sunday's game against Detroit. But before we do that, Chip Scoggins, let's talk about your favorite beer and mine, our friends from Surly Brewing, and in particular, the Surly Furious. Chip, I'm going to bet for the weekend coming up that you have made your run already to the local liquor store and picked up a few cans. Is that correct?
I ran out last night, Judd. I'm going right after Purple Access today. As soon as we get off here, I'm making the run.
Love to hear that, because when you're out, you got to restock.
Oh, yeah.
Surly Furious, baby. That's awesome. Okay, Phil is very concerned. Phil is predicting that there is a good chance, or I think he flat out predicted, that the Vikings lose to Detroit on Sunday. Declan is calling for a blowout. I'm not there. I don't know it's going to be a huge win, but I am damn confident that the Vikings, especially this team coming off a loss, is not going to lose at Ford Field on Sunday. What say you?
No, I think it's at least 10-point win. I think getting Pearson Tomlinson. Pearson Tomlinson back inside. Sounds like they're both going to be back, right? One from injury, one from COVID.
Yeah.
That'll help the defense, obviously. I just don't see them stopping Jefferson and Thielen. I think both those guys are going to have a big game. It's the Lions. It's the ultimate get-well game. So I think it'll be a 10-point win.
That's what Deck said.
Yeah, 10 points. I same thing. You should absolutely put the throttle down on these guys.
I'm just not – I don't know why, but I think it's the fact that they lost on Sunday. This game just doesn't concern me that much. This is the type of game that the Vikings bounce back in. Now, if they had beaten San Fran, I might be a little bit more concerned because I'd be like, okay, this is a little bit of a trap here. But they're not going to be trapped. And I actually think that they win on Sunday. I think they come back at home and beat Pittsburgh on Thursday. Because those, mm-hmm. to me, are the type of games where the Vikings and like Kirk and Zim and the whole crew are like, let's prove people wrong. Let's show.
Oh, yeah. When you start doubting them, that's when they go the other way. Right, yeah, and exactly Pittsburgh right. with Big Ben. I mean, he's cooked. They looked awful.
He should really stop
right now. Yeah. So yeah, I think they bounce back, play pretty well, get a big game from Jefferson probably, and I think they win handily.
Yeah, I think that I believe I predicted this week, Chipper. They've got six games left. I think mm-hmm. they win four. I think they win nine games and then might need tiebreaker help, which they might not get to get that last seed. But I could very much see them sneaking in to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I said nine wins, too. I think that's what they'll get. The way the NFC looks, it probably should get you in, right? I would think.
Yeah, Washington can play some havoc with you, though.
Yeah.
If they can win the tiebreaker, if they win nine games. So, like, that might be your problem. But, yeah, I'm not going to be shocked. I also, though, to make this clear, getting into the playoffs with that seed does not change my mind about making changes.
No, me.
So, like, yeah, I don't care about the playoffs. Unless you make a great run, to me, this thing needs to be changed.
Yeah, I mean, it's – just getting in, I mean, ultimately, when you've had a regime that's been there this long, the ownership has to step back and say, where is this going? Yep. Like, what is this leading to? I mean, because it's not like it's the first or second or third year where you're like, okay, this is a stepping stone to something else. I mean, right. You've been here long enough, you have to say, okay, what's this building to? And that's the question you have to ask yourself.
And I think the good thing and the bad thing about the Wilfs is this. They are fans. That's a bad thing because they're fans at times, but they're fans of football. And the good thing is no matter what the Vikings do now, I think the Wilfs can see that they're built wrong. And by that, I don't mean the personnel. I actually like components of that chip. But what I mean is, like, Mike is always, and this is not Mike's fault. He was hired to be a defensive guy, right? Mm-hmm. And you just look at where this league is gone now. And, you know, Mike got the job in 2014, long time ago now. And you look at where this league has gone and how it's transcended and what the Vikings have offensively, which is some really nice pieces. And I don't think it's a stretch to say it's very easy to see as a football fan that there would be a lot of possibility here if you got the right people coaching these players.
And that's why it felt like, before San Fran, but the previous two games, it felt like a calculated about face in terms of how that offense should function and what it should look like. And I don't know if that was in Zimmer saying, take chances, take risks, you know, throw it down the field. If he was intending that for the owner suite, hey, look at me, we could be offensive minded too.
Yeah, I think it probably was. Yes. That's put perfectly. Last thing, I got a theory here, a Zolgadian theory that I want to.
I love your theories. I love your theories
because you're good at fleshing these out. So There were two instances on Sunday. One was talked about a ton. One was not. But there were two instances with Kirk. The first and most talked about is lined up under guard. Oh my God, that looks, you know, that looks crazy. Yeah. That looks stupid. Okay, I get that. The second one was the end of the first half drive where Kirk got mad and almost looked like he chucked the ball out of bounds on purpose because the ball came late. Chip, I think my theory is this. It lends credence to the fact that there are far more chefs in the play calling kitchen, because Kirk in both cases, the first he was straight up pissed off. The second he was flustered, like he's trying to move guys around and call, and it's clear he's getting the call in, and then it shuts off. Yeah. I think that those are signs of we've got at least two, if not more people, probably two, weighing in on play calls. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't. You mean in his headset, he's hearing two guys?
No. I mean just coming in slow because there's two people trying to decide what they're going to call in.
It could be. I think it's clear we're hearing Janoco's name more mentioned, right? I mean, and I think Cousins mentioned him by name when he was asked about that at the end of the first half, right? Because he went at Janoco on the sideline.
He did.
So he's at least having more input in between series. Now, is there two voices in the, you know, on the headset?
No, I'm not saying that.
Not that. Yeah, but you're saying like those guys collaborate and talk, trying to figure out.
They're collaborating and it's slowing the play call down, which they don't at times have time for. At times you do.
Well,
at times you don't.
Yeah, I mean, the way he threw that last pass at the first half was almost like a kid throwing a temper tantrum and just throwing a toy or something. Because that was like, what in the world was that? Like, it had made no sense, but it was like his frustration. That was the other thing about Sunday is like, not only did he play well, his frustration flowed, and we've seen it before, so it wasn't the first time, but he did not hide it that he was upset with the coaches on several occasions. So maybe he does have too many voices in his head right now.
Well, and those two plays had to come in quickly. And the thing with Kirk is never going to say, screw it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like he's always going to wait for the instruction. Yeah. But I just go back to when he accidentally got below guard. You know, he was trying to move receivers.
Jefferson, yeah, and
Thielen,
right?
Came down. And then the problem is this, too, and this is just Kirk and how he is mentally wired. The problem is if Kirk then calls the timeout, comes back on fourth down, and hits JJ on a strike, which he could have done, we all laugh about that. Oh, he lined up under guard. That was funny. Yeah. But then he threw an important touchdown. But he got flustered. And go back and watch the fourth down pass. There's pressure coming, but it's not there yet. And he airmails that ball. And so I just think that what you're saying is correct. I think he got frustrated and he was mad and it forces mistakes. And I think it's because in moments of crisis, there's not one person to say, here's what we're doing, you know, bang. Yeah. And then you do it.
Get him out of his head. Yeah. There's not anybody to get him out of his head because I just felt like he was in his head the whole game. He was in his head. He was frustrated.
Once you do the pick, you're 1,000% right. There's no question about it.
And then things snowball with the play calls, and you just got frustrated.
And don't forget, too, the pick came on his first pass of the second half after he got mad at the end. So, like, I just didn't think about that till now.
Oh, that's a good point.
Played a role in him being – again, pissed off, and he's not thinking clearly.
He's thinking about something else. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Kirk.
That's a good point. Yeah.
All right, sir. We will talk next Thursday about what we all perceive on this show, at least. Forget Phil Mackey. Will be a victory against the Lions. Again, drink your Surly.
It'll be game day. Next Thursday.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's right. Thursday is. Drink your Surly. Enjoy your week. Chip says bye. I say bye. Declan says something.
Something. Beat the Lions, damn it. Just beat the Lions.
Yeah, that's a good one, Dex.
Beat the damn Lions. God's sake.
Doggone it, Declan's right.
God.